نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد المعدن الجود والكرم اللهم صل على محمد وعلي الغلبم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلي وصحبه وبارك وسلم أما
刘旭本来跟他们说的
In our everyday lives, most of all, that thing that we have a requirement for, we have a need for, that is a physical issue regards to our physical state. And every day there's some new, you could say, sickness or illness that develops, that becomes apparent, and there's not even a name attached to that sickness, and then you have to choose a name for it, for that new disease. We'll give it this title, just like COVID came, nobody knew. And so the physical sicknesses, diseases that run along with society, so the treatment, a person then has to seek treatment, he tries, he makes effort. Every sickness, the treatment for it, when they analyze it, research it to diagnose it, the doctor, the physician, the person who gives the treatment, the hakim, the homeopathic doctor or physician or allopathic, everybody has the same method to treat that sickness. Similar method. First of all, what they see is the symptoms that person has got, the effects, that what is the impact of the sickness on this person, the effects. Then they realize that possibly he's got this sickness. For example, I've got a pain in my neck. And I'm sneezing. Just give you an example, simple example. I'm sneezing, I can't stop sneezing, and there's pain in my neck, and my body's broken. And if I tell the doctors, okay, you've got the flu, the doctor will say, another condition a person will have is that, for example, the doctor, he will think, what are the different solutions, and then he'll have a medicine that's stuck in his mind, and he'll prescribe that. So whatever medicine that came to his mind, he didn't make it himself, he didn't create that, he didn't invent that, even he was convinced. The physician, who? The company, yeah, that made it or manufactured it. If they didn't make it, manufacture it, then he would know about that medicine. So he thought, okay, if he's got this issue, then I'll prescribe him this medicine. So how was the company appointed with that medicine? They even looked at the symptoms. They thought that when these issues occur to human beings, they have these germs, these bacteria, etc. And then they test out the medicines in laboratories, and they go through various cycles and phases of research, and they convince the medical profession. And then when that treats people properly, then repeatedly he prescribes that medicine, because yeah, it works on human beings. So this is the treatment for physical sicknesses that we're discussing it. And there are people who have intellect, you've got hospitals, doctors, consultants, they earn money, we give money. Why? What will happen most of all, worst case, with the sickness? Yeah, is that a person is going to pass away if there's no treatment. Going to pass away, isn't it? We're going to pass away anyway. So maybe a person will die through an accident or plane accident, or somebody gets burnt or somebody gets drowned. So to save our lives and to be saved, we want to be saved from these sicknesses that in our mind, oh, the sickness will come, disease will come, it will kill me. Or rather, this is not the case. We have a danger, hazard, I don't want to die. So we try, we make effort in the medical field. So with regards to the body, Allah Ta'ala said there's another part to your life that we cannot see, and that is the spiritual internal life of a person. This body physical that we can see in front of us, but the other part of our life is the ruh, the soul, which is inside. And very seldom do we research that. And both systems are similar. Physical, spiritual, external, internal. Both are very similar. So just like when we have physical, external sicknesses, there's also internal sicknesses, more over and above. And they also have symptoms, the internal sicknesses. So that those people of wisdom and understanding, they will look at the effects of the internal sicknesses and they'll recognize that, oh, there's an issue here. And just like for the physical bodily sicknesses, a person looks at the effects, because there's an effect on the body, isn't it? You see something, feel something. The same way spiritually, the sickness within has an immediate impact on that person. And it happens. But because we don't focus on that, we don't pay attention to that, we say, oh, let it carry on. Let it carry on. We pay more attention to our physical body. We run straight away to the doctor. We try to buy the most expensive medicine for cure, treatment. But the ruh, the soul, the sicknesses also have an effect, an impact, a result. Because this gathering is connected also to our ruh, our soul, and mashallah, everyone who attends here are dhakireen, and we are trying to pass through the phases of life so we can understand our internal self as well. That's why I'm discussing this with you. I'm not talking about fiqh here, jurisprudence here, or masail here. The issue that we are gathered morning and evening, we meet each other. And so I'm discussing that topic right now. So, when that physical sickness has an impact, an effect that we see. So you are those people that you have felt that physical effect of a sickness. Just like in the body, yes, you can feel the sickness, the illness. Straight away a person says, oh, I need to get the treatment. I need to get the treatment. Same way the human being in his ruh, in his soul, when there's a sickness, the person of wisdom, he understands. Oh, there are some symptoms there. Why? What's wrong with me? What's the problem inside me? Then for that, Allah Ta'ala in the Quran, many places He's explained. And Allah has given examples and solutions. Allah says, إِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ مُنَافِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضًا. So this is a beautiful point that Allah has presented here. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضًا. Allah says that the soul, the sickness is connected to what? The human being's heart. Our heart. So when the heart goes downhill, don't think it's this physical heart that we're talking about that pumps blood around the body. So I'll explain to you with regards to tasawwuf here. So when we say the heart, it's not that physical heart that Allah Ta'ala is speaking about that is a sickness inside. It's not that heart. Yeah, the physical doctors, they say, oh, your nerves, your veins are blocked, or the arteries are blocked, and they talk about the diseases of the heart. So this is not connected to the physical working of the heart. The heart that Allah Ta'ala is talking about, that inside the heart there's a sickness, that is the heart that is connected to your soul, your ruh. So the physical heart is connected to the body, and if he gets a heart attack, then the person dies, because it's related to his physical body. And when the heart is diseased spiritually, then the impact of that is different. So don't connect the two together. So our Naqshbandi order, when we say Latifa Qalb, the lesson of the heart, is the different heart we're talking about here. The spiritual, internal. Some people when they feel, they can feel their heart is beating to Allah's name, they feel that emotion. So it's not the physical heart, it's a different heart. And that heart is such that when a person works hard on it, a believer, and he does dhikr of Allah, and he has the company of a pious person, a good teacher, then he starts to see the effect on his heart. And the heart can see that. And the ruh, the soul, it can see that. the effects of, will he attain paradise, will he attain hell? And from far the heart can feel the good or the bad, and you can see the effect in your life. And that person's emotion, his state becomes different. Do you understand what I'm saying? And a nur, a light Allah Ta'ala allows to be instilled into that heart. And that nur becomes a light for that person. That light then guides that person within. From darkness he goes into light. So this is that individual who, this is the heart of our ruh, our soul. And that is called latifa, the lesson of the heart for the student. The lesson of the heart. What is called this? Latifa qalb. So it's not just one heart Allah has given like this. Rather, seven maqams Allah has given. Seven levels the heart has. The same heart has seven levels within the body of that person. And mashallah, the students who are in the silsila, they will be progressing through that, those levels. One is called latifa qalb. Second is latifa ruh. Third, latifa sar. Fourth, latifa khafi, latifa akhfa, latifa nafs. And latifa qalbiya, the seven levels that the heart goes through. So tell me, we cannot control one. Imagine a person who goes through the seven levels of his heart in progression spiritually, what his maqam and level will be. How sad it is to say, such a valuable human being, Allah has made us so valuable, each and every one of us, so many darajat Allah has given, and all of us, our seven levels in our heart are dead. Allah says, so this individual is like he's deceased. In the Quran, Allah says, don't you look inside yourself? Don't you ponder how many signs I've given to you of my marifa, my nearness, all the signs. Allah says, fil afaq. Does Allah not say that around you, I've given you physical signs in the worlds, wherever you look around in the universe, the world, you can recognize me. Even if you see an ant crawling, through the ant crawling, you recognize your Lord. If you research the spider, the insect, you'll be amazed at how it's functioning. If you see the spider, it itself is living in a complete world. It has a family, it has children, it has food, it has sustenance. And there are people, scientists who research on insects and spiders and animals, and they look at the senses of the animals and how they live and their domain. So for example, if there's a spider walking around you or near you, an insect, soon as you try to take hold of it, it will stop there suddenly. And it's trying to disguise or pretend I'm dead. Yeah, if you go near to a spider, it'll stop suddenly. It won't move. It will think, oh, I'm being attacked here. Even though it's got life inside, it's breathing. A small, small spider, you can experience this. Yeah, and it will stop suddenly. It will freeze. And then that person, he knows that you're about to grab it. You're big. It's a very small insect. And it's trying to trick you that it's dead. It's lifeless now. No motion. Yeah, some people, then they put their, for example, their legs, and they try to put their feet on top of it to try to stamp on it, but the insect will somehow get away. So you can try this yourself to see one of the creation of Allah. So everything around us is to recognize Allah. Allah Ta'ala inside the human being, so many qualities and skills Allah has given to the human, and how foolish we are. That we think that dhikr, why do you do dhikr? Why do you go to a wali Allah, a sheikh? We think there's no objective for it. Yeah, that my friends, this is a very high objective of attending dhikr gathering, of having a teacher to progress. Without this, you cannot become a human being. Without this lesson. Yes, those people will rise up dead, without life. Those people who have not followed this path of the deen, so I say subhanAllah. Those people who have not followed these lessons of the deen, to learn the dhikr of Allah, to progress with the guidance of a teacher. This is the real objective of life. The real essence of life. So in the same way, when the human being, just like we have the sicknesses of the body, and the sicknesses inside us, that Allah Ta'ala has said that there are many, many spiritual maladies. Al-munafiqun fi qulubihim marada. What is Allah saying here? That those people who have sicknesses in the heart, the diseases in their heart, just like you have diseases on the body, those who have diseases in their hearts, what are those diseases? Allah is referring to here. Fi qulubihim marada. First, nifaq, Allah has explained it. Hypocrisy. Munafiq. The hypocrite who has hypocrisy inside. This is a disease of the heart. Allah is mentioning it. Allah says, the munafiqoon. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ رَدَى. The munafiqs, the hypocrites, they had hypocrisy, sickness in their heart. They walk around, they look like you, they look like me, everyone says he's a believer. But who knows who is a real genuine believer and who is a munafiq? You can't tell from the looking outside that person. You can't recognize. You can't tell. You can't distinguish. Is he hypocrite? Is he genuine? But how will you recognize? The symptoms, you look at the symptoms, just like your flu, influenza, a person sneezing, neck pain, you'll say, oh, he's got flu. Yeah? Physical disease. You understand? The doctors. So the munafiq, the hypocrite, who is a spiritual disease in the heart, he also has symptoms, effects of his disease. And you can see that any individual, if he's double, two-faced, something inside and something else outside. Inside his house, his deen is different. Outside, his deen is different. Externally, his Islam is different. Inwardly, his Islam is different. I'm talking about deen here. Everything, he'll do everything in hiding. Yes, for his benefit, he'll do anything under the name of Islam. But he'll have a feeling inside, though I'm telling you the symptoms now of the hypocrite. He won't think that, oh, I don't want Allah to find out. He'll say, I don't want people in the world to find out. He won't think about Allah. He'll drink alcohol. And who will he hide from? Say it, who? From the dunya. He'll hide away. And he'll go to the pub. He'll go in the darkness, in the night, from the back door to drink alcohol. I don't want people to see me. He doesn't have the fear that is Allah watching me. So I'm telling you the signs of the munafiq here, the hypocrite. He'll consume interest, riba. He'll do unlawful transactions. He'll lie. He will backbite. He will take people's rights. He won't have fear of Allah. Rather, he will have fear of who? People in the world. He'll have fear. This is one sign of the munafiq, severe sign. For his benefit, he'll do everything under the sun. And who will he hide from? The dunya, people of the world. I don't want the people of the world to degrade me, to defame me. I don't want the people in the world to find out, people who know me. This is the biggest sickness. This is called the munafiq, the hypocrite who has the disease in the heart of hypocrisy. And there's such a dirty level in the hereafter Allah's put that a person cannot imagine. The worst, dirtiest level in the hereafter. And we all sat here today for this reason, that these points that we're discussing, that I'm sharing with you, yes, that I'm not here to win over you for an election, but rather we are here to develop a concern for myself and for yourselves. That where are we today? We want to save ourselves from hellfire. So let's look inside our heart. That is this disease inside me? Are these symptoms within me? That instead of Allah, that am I scared of the people of the world? Am I trying to please the people of the world? Do you understand what I'm saying at this point? So, do we ever see, oh, what will the people say? What are they going to think? Well, I don't want him to say anything, X, Y, Z. If he finds out, oh, he's going to degrade me, I'm going to be, he's going to take my fame away. Is this somehow inside me, this feeling? If this is inside me, then what am I? I'm a munafiq, nifaq is inside me. Hypocrisy. Oh, I pray salah, I'm fine. No. Salah is separate. Put that on its side, on its own. The point is this, that what is Allah saying here? That are you a Muslim or not? Are you a believer or not? Do you understand the point here? Yes. So this is the real thing we need to distinguish and analyze regularly. Allah said this in the Quran, regards to the hypocrites. That when you come to me, Allah says, and thereafter, don't come to me with your ibadah and worship. Come to me with qalbin salim. Man atala fi qalbin salim. Allah says, when you come to me, and thereafter, come to me with your pure, clean heart. Then I will see, is your heart glowing? Then you don't need to prove to me all ibadat. I'll accept everything that you bring to me. Allah says, even if it's a particle's weight of deeds, straight I'll give you paradise due to your deeds. No, one jannah, jannatan, Allah says, I'll give to you. Waliman khafa, that if you come to me with fear, how many paradise? Two paradise for the person who comes with the fear of Allah. Oh, Allah has leave riba, sood, due to your fear. Allah protect my eyesight due to your fear. Oh Allah, I'm doing this sin. What will Allah say? And he has fear in his mind of Allah. The person who has this fear in his heart, for him Allah says, two paradise I'll give to that person. Two paradise. Has Allah not said this in the Quran? Jannatan, Allah says. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَابَ رَبِّي جَنَّتَان, Allah says. Why? Two paradises, why? Subhanallah, for this reason, that inside that person there's no hypocrisy. He's khalis, pure human being. Do you understand the point? So now let's think for ourselves. Let's analyze ourselves. How much of my life has passed? Have I ever thought to myself that am I somehow a hypocrite? Have I got nifaq? No, I pray. No, forget prayer. Look at the sicknesses. You know, shaitan, just like sugar-coated tablets that smell and sweet on the outside, our salah will not benefit us. Salah is that salah when you pray salah with a pure, clean heart. That is salah. So when these symptoms, we start to see them, then you should recognize that I've got a disease inside my heart. Same way, riya, showing off, envy, hasad, anger, and love of yourself and love of your wealth. All of these are sicknesses. If you have any of these symptoms in your life, then consider these diseases are within my heart. And if the love of the world is in my life, then I'm a sick person. Love of the dunya, I'm a sick person if I've got love of the dunya. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, but I'm praying salah. How can I be sick inside my world? No, love of the world is a disease. Oh, I've got this sickness, I can see this. I've got love of the dunya, material things inside me. I'm lying. You should accept then, I should accept. I'm sick, I'm lying regularly. That means I'm sick in my heart because I'm lying. These are symptoms of lying. A person who lies means he's sick. فِي قُلُوبِهِ مَرْضَى. There's a disease in his heart because he's lying. He's consuming, grabbing other people's money and their rights and their wealth and their assets. That means he's sick. That person's sick. Whenever we have a habit present inside us, what should we say? We are sick. I'm not healthy. I'm sneezing. I'll say I've got the flu. If I've got stomach pain, I'm sick. Physically, if I've got a headache, I'm sick physically. Why am I saying this? Because I can feel and see the symptoms of my body. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So same way the spiritual ruhani sicknesses, I've got the symptoms. If I'm lying, then I am sick, severely sick with regards to the hereafter. I'm sick if I'm lying. If I've got extreme love for the world and I'm stuck in that, then I'm severely sick with regards to the hereafter. If my eyesight, I'm straying around, I'm looking around, then I'm sick. If I've got hasad envy, I'm sick. If I'm angry regularly, I'm sick. I'm unwell. So what's the difference? What's the mistake we make? We don't care about these spiritual internal things. I'm lying, I say, okay, no problem. Oh, it's alright, no problem. Oh, I'm doing Hajj, Umrah, I'm doing regular Hajj, Umrah. We think that to suppress and bury our sins inside us, we do worship. You've gone on Hajj, you've gone on Umrah, tell me. Then you're lying, the punishment, will your Hajj and Umrah save you from lying, the punishment of lying? Tell me, will it? No, it won't. Impossible. The azab will come. So look at the difference. That when the external bodily sicknesses we have, physical sicknesses that we have, how much we are cautious then, and how much money we spend to visit medical profession, doctors, get medicines, cautious, isn't it? What will happen after the sickness? If you die of cancer, what will happen? Worst case, you have to die one day, you have to depart from this world one day. What's the worst case scenario if you pass away? But that person, you're so much concerned, I don't want to be sick, save me, cure, medicine. We die, we're dying, we want to prevent that sickness killing us. But that sickness is such, my friends, my brothers, if you die due to that sickness, physical bodily sickness, after dying, is that sickness now with you? After dying, is the cancer going to be with your body? No. Will Dr. Sabi sat there when you're dead after cancer? Yes, they tell me that after passing away, has anyone said that from his grave he's phoning the person in the, please give me the medicine, bring me the cancer medicine to my grave because I'm sick? After dying, all the sicknesses have evaporated, gone. Rather, they give a certificate, the doctor, when he passed away, that he's leaving the world healthy. And that's why that person's buried in the grave. Yes, until you don't get the death certificate, that poor soul can't be buried. Say Subhanallah. Yes. And the doctor says, right, he's passed away, no sickness now, no worldly sickness. We give permission, here's the death certificate, he's passed away, you can bury that person now. They give this, no, they. So today I'm telling you the reality of this death certificate. What is it? It goes with you, it's a certificate, he's healthy, fine, body is free of all the sicknesses now of the world. He won't go with the flu, he doesn't go with the stomach pain. All of the sicknesses stay above in the world. Only that person, his body goes into the grave, no disease goes with that person. And that person who you keep on curing the sickness, and it's not giving you no problem after death, you pass away. So why are you worried about it so much? It's not giving you no loss after your death. No loss whatsoever. Do you understand what I'm saying? We come to the point. Now let's come to the other hand. That sickness that we don't consider a sickness today, if we consider a sickness, spiritual sickness, is definitely we take the cure. Thousands, millions are present who, there's a group sat here who sat for the cure today. From millions of people, we are few here today. So think about it now. Who are the people of wisdom, intellect, brainy people? Allah Ta'ala has given us such understanding that that's why you are sat here today, for the cure, spiritual treatment. We're sat here. Unconsciously, I'm explaining to you so you'll understand, inshallah, the details. But unconsciously, it's not about dhikr, shikr. We're not here for that today. We are here today for the cure for our heart disease. When I went to my sheikh, my teacher, I went with this objective purpose. And he's most foolish, a student who goes to the teacher and he doesn't go with this intention. Whoever comes to me for islah, if you come for islah, put your hands up. For rectification. If you come here for purification, isn't it? That's it. So if I beat you or tell you off, you can put your hands down now. So if I hit you or beat you or scold you or tell you off with dhikr, that's my choice how I give the treatment. That's my choice what I tell you to do. Yeah, that's my choice what course of action I tell you. La ilaha illallah, Allah, subhanallah. That's me, I'm the doctor, isn't it? I'm the doctor, the physician for the students. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you come for islah, and please tell me that you have come for this islah, that in my room, my spiritual inside me, please doctor, help us to get rid of the sicknesses, the diseases. Say subhanallah. So that's, what are the spiritual sicknesses that you come for? So fortunate and lucky people are you. What are those? They are so dangerous, those sicknesses within us, that we cannot imagine. The disease within us in the heart, we cannot imagine the impact of it. Yes, the sickness of the world, you cancer, you pass away, you've gone. When you go into the grave, when a human being is buried in the grave, then he doesn't have that sickness on his body anymore. And what is the real sickness? The impact of the real sickness, of the spiritual sicknesses, starts after death in the grave. And they become apparent inside the qabr. They come, the Holy Prophet ﷺ was walking once. Sahih hadith, authentic. Two hadith. One hadith the Prophet ﷺ stopped and his camel started to shake. Do you understand? It was jumping around. It was not happy, the camel, when they rode past the grave. The Prophet ﷺ stopped. And the noble companions of the Prophet of Allah, your camel was jumping, it was not happy. What's the reason for this near the grave? The Prophet responded that when we were going past here, that inside this grave there was azab, punishment taking place. That person in the grave was getting punished. The person in the grave was getting punished, and the animals, they can feel it. They can hear inside. They can hear the shrieks. They have senses beyond ours. So this azab of the qabr had an effect on the camel, and it was excited the camel. In the same way, the Prophet ﷺ was going past and they stopped. And he said that in this grave there's azab, punishment, and in this grave there's punishment. He pointed them out. He said, in this grave the azab, the punishment of this grave is for what reason? He mentioned them. So my brothers, this azab, punishment that's given in the grave, for which reason is it given? Why is the azab being given, the punishment in the grave? What's the purpose, reason behind it, that the punishment's being given in the grave? Is that person sick in the grave? Has he got cancer? Has he got migraine, headache or stomach pain? Or some liver failure or kidney failure? Is that why that person's being punished in the grave? No! That's not the reason. The azab, punishment given in the grave, is for the reason that person lied. And he had a spiritual disease in the heart, in the world. So he's getting punishment. And he was in love with the dunya. He was lying. He was a fraudster. He was envious of people. He was an oppressor. So that person, whilst he lives in the world, the physical disease of the world are finished, and there are spiritual diseases that he did not eliminate while he was living in the world. So now in the grave he's taking those diseases with him or her, and the real punishment starts then of those sicknesses, and those sicknesses will come out then and become apparent, alive. May Allah enable us so we can eliminate that. And Allah explained the detail. The Prophet ﷺ said, what was happening with the person who consumed riba? And that woman who did zina, adultery, fornication, what happened to them? And the men who did zina, what happened to them in the grave? And those who backbited, how they were ripping off their own flesh and consuming it. What are these diseases, my brothers? These are spiritual diseases within us, in our hearts. And the symptoms we can see today on planet Earth, but we are burying them. We are running away from them because they don't give us loss in the world. We get worldly benefit rather from them. So we want to hide them away. We want to bury them away. We don't want to think about them because we think there's no loss attached to them. Oh, they're going to go away anyway, so no problem. Many people I know like this. Many people. And they did not get the cure for their spiritual diseases. They said, oh, I'm not going to die with this spiritual disease or disease of the heart and death. So why should I go away, run after the solution for these problems that I've got? And that person, he died from some other issue. So though the concept of physical death is different, the real thing we need to worry about is that after death in the grave, the effects of our spiritual diseases, that's what we need. But we're not worried about that today. But the person who has intellect, he has concern in the world that Allah, I want to eliminate these sicknesses from within me here whilst I'm living. Otherwise, why did the Prophet ﷺ need to tell us about the punishments of the grave? Why? That he's got this sickness. This was his condition. Because he didn't eliminate his sickness in the world. Now he's getting adab in the grave. And always that person ongoing, permanent, he will get that punishment. Permanent. So what a big difference, my friends, if we think about this. That how foolish and stupid is that human being who sees the symptoms, the effects of his spiritual internality, that I've got this deficiency, he has no concern to eliminate it, and he passes away. And he keeps on burying it. Oh, it's okay, let me hide this sin, let me hide this deficiency. But what it should be is just like the sneeze, we run, get the injection for the flu, or get this medicine for this sickness. But if you see I'm lying, I'm regular in lying, or my eyes go astray, you should be desperate, I want to get rid of this sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the point we need to understand. So now we need to decide for ourselves. Either we scan ourselves and keep scanning ourselves. No, I've got no problem. I don't think anyone's bad. My heart is clean. My heart is pure. I'm qalbin saleem. I'm at peace. I have no need to clean myself. Fine. You've passed the test. But can there be anyone like this who is 100% pure? We live in the world. This world. Society. We live in the world. And these sicknesses will come. Spiritual internal diseases will come. They definitely will come. Just like we're living in the world, there will be dust and there will be pollution, there will be germs and bacteria, there will be virus, there will be flu. Same way we're living in the world. And everywhere around us, every day shaitan invents a new way of sinning. So what we need to do, what do we need to do? Is as soon as the winters come now, the phone calls come from the GP, take the flu jab, flu injection, NHS messages, because they say protect yourself from the disease. What do they say? Protect yourself. They say this, don't they? Yeah? And you don't have a sickness, rather it doesn't protect you, maybe it gives you more of a sickness sometimes. It goes the opposite direction. And you keep saving yourself, save yourself, protect yourself, take the jab, take this injection, etc. So what do we need to do? Is that as soon as, just like we protect ourselves from physical sickness, so if we understand that the real sickness is this, if we learn today, we'll be successful. We need to save ourselves from the spiritual internal sicknesses. Subhanallah. If you understand what I'm saying, then from today make a pact with yourself. That I have to save myself. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow if I die. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, as soon as we go in the grave, the snakes will come, the pythons will come. Some sins will take the shape and form of horrible, horrible animals. In the hadith, it stated that this grave either will be a portion of paradise or it will be a portion of hell. Sahih hadith this is. Why? Because it will be a portion of paradise for that person who fought his spiritual diseases and left all his sins in the world. And he kept on cleaning himself. Kept on cleaning himself from all, with the sar, with the ru, with the qalb, whatever symptoms he saw of sin, he ran after them to eliminate them while he was living in the world. He didn't hide them away or bury them under the rug or the carpet. He'd find the sins, identify the deficiencies. He says, is this inside me? Yes, it's inside me. I need to sort this out. This is a bad habit I've got. Oh, I do these bad actions. I accept that, I recognize that, I need to do something about it. We hide our sins. I want respect. What respect do we want? This ain't respect. The most disrespectful person will be that person in the hereafter. And he'll have the most ruin and destruction. And in the world, Allah gives that person ruin and destruction as well, who tries to hide away his defects and his sins. Yes, heights and elevation and rank is not with money and wealth. I'm this, I'm title, I'm sir, I'm son of this person. Nothing at all. Allah says, you are higher in my ranks due to taqwa. Allah says, I will look at your title, your lineage, he's son of this person, this much money, billions, millions. No. Allah says, this is just in the world and in the hereafter, maqam, the rank, those will have honor and respect and dignity will be those people who had more taqwa, fear of Allah in their hearts. That's the classification. Yes? Not that, oh, he's got this and this standard and this title or this country or this background. Allah says there's no distinguishing of money or wealth or this background or this creed or this race. Nobody has more respect. Is a faqir, poor man, dry bread. He has no money, no wealth, and no Sayyid Faruqi title, sir this, sir that. But he has taqwa so strong that the angels come to give him salam. The angels. Yes, so don't worry about the worldly things for respect. Say subhanallah. Yes, don't worry about elevating yourself in the eyes of the people of the world. Elevate yourself for the hereafter. Why do we want to become wealthy so people can salute me, say salam to me? Why do people want to become MPs and politicians and prime ministers and presidents? Why? Why do people do fraud and corruption? People oppress other people and they kill others to become politicians. Politicians kill others, they lie, fraud, consume money. And millions they spend to become an MP. Politician, their main objective is, I want respect in the world. Oh, sahib's coming, sir's coming, MP's coming. All of this is a waste of time and a sickness. This is a spiritual disease that I want people to respect me and identify me. That person who has this desire that I want people to respect me, he is the worst of the sick people. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said himself that do dua to Allah, subhanallah, that Allah lower me in the eyes of the human beings. Lower me in the eyes of the human beings that I'm nothing at all in front of them. Do this dua. Do this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah lower me in the eyes of the human beings. I'm like dust, I'm like soil. I don't want respect from the people in the world. Dignity. When you make this dua and I'm Allah, I'm nothing, then Allah likes that person so much. Allah says, I will give you respect, the true respect, Allah says. I will give you respect. Then I extend and increase the person's respect, Allah says. Do you understand what I'm saying? So why are we wasting our lives? Why am I wasting my life? I'm so sick and unwell. All of the sicknesses are embedded within me and I say I'm healthy. I'm saying I'm healthy. For one sickness in the world bodily, I run to the doctor. Please help me scan, analyze. And so many sicknesses inside us. Should we not protect ourselves? Should we not protect ourselves? Do we need this or not? This is the medicine that I'm prescribing. My brothers, open your eyes and consider and accept yourself as a patient, a sick person. You're not healthy. We're not healthy. The tazkiyah system that we've got, the tazkiyah sheets that you fill in every day, that you complete every day, this is not some minor system. All of this system of our tazkiyah sheets that we fill, these are for our spiritual enhancement. That, mashallah, the mashayikh and honorable pious predecessors, they prescribe this system to us. This sheet system is so fantastic that it takes the sins out from the roots of the human being. This daily sheet system, the assessment, self-assessment. One sin I give to a person, a student, one sin to assess, self-assessment. 15, 20 years, if you're honest, that individual can't take control of that sin. He can't control it. And he keeps on having crosses on his sheet, but no problem. I don't say that's bad. I say, Alhamdulillah, he is successful. Allah is happy with you because you are trying. You're making effort and you're consuming the medicine. When you go to the doctor, what does the doctor ask you first? Did you take the medicine? Did you consume the medicine? The capsules are prescribed medicines. He asks you, did you take the tablets? Then he goes and looks at the symptoms. I'm talking today in the language of the doctor. Doesn't the doctor ask this first? Why? And if you say, I didn't take the medicine, he said, what are you doing? How will you be improved? You won't get the treatment. And he's upset then with you, the doctor, when you don't take the medicine. This is the case, isn't it? Yes? So, if we accept that we are unwell, we are sick, and we have sicknesses present inside us. So this is the reason that when a person when he's following the tazkiyah sheet, self-assessment, he has sins, and I'm happy, I see that he's walked across. I don't like the person lying, he's going ticks, 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 wasting his life, he's lying to Allah, he's just saying yes, yes, yes to everything. And he would be grabbed in the rafter that you were doing fruit with Allah, making up your status. I give you an opportunity, Allah says, to improve yourself. You should have put the crosses there when you're sinning. Allah says, I'm happy that at least you're taking the medicine and accepting that you've got fault. And the doctor's happy, okay, you're taking the medicine. Okay, let's assess you further. I'll improve you. Allah says, at least you're taking the medicine. Yes? And Allah won't look at the crosses. Allah looks at the effort that you're making as a student. Never lie about your treatment. Always be honest. Rather, even if you got a doubt, then put a cross there. That, oh, maybe I made a mistake, put a cross there. Because you're going in front of Allah with your results. You'll be presented to Allah. Though Allah, I did this sin. Oh, will you lie to Allah? No, Allah had no sins. Allah says, you're telling me that you had no sins? You're trying to conceal from me? So you understand now the tazkiyah sheet system? Yes? So to do this, it doesn't mean that your sins aren't removed and you're a failure and keep on crossing. Allah says, come to me with all crosses in your sheet. Sa'im mashkur, Allah says, just by looking at your effort, I will accept you. Congratulations to those sisters, brothers, women, men who are trying on the daily tazkiyah sheet system. Alhamdulillah. So all of these paths, Allah has given us these methods so that the sins within us, we can eliminate them while we're living in the world now, before we pass away. Work hard on them now. Those people who desire and they accept that we are sinful, we all accept that we have deficiencies. Yes, a person who is sick, who accepts he's sick, only he will go to the doctor, isn't it? So the person who's not doing this, not going to the doctor, saying, I'm healthy, then he is in the big, big deception. I give you the sheets, I give you a sin. Please show me if you are correct, if you are fine. Until today, I've not seen. First, a person used to come. I said, can you take this sin and analyze it? He said, lying? He said, no, I don't lie at all. I said, okay, let's assess it then. Until today, he's got crosses all the time. Subhanallah. He says, oh, I'm lying all the time. I thought I wasn't lying, but I'm lying all the time. Because the deception, we have shrouded ourselves in deception. The cloud of deception. We all think that we are the best. Because I've got a beard and I wear the turban. I think I'm the best and I praise Allah. I think I'm the best. But I don't look inside myself. And we don't have time to look inside ourselves. We just look inside for a bit. In turn, for whose sake? For your own sake. Because in the grave tomorrow, it will become a big punishment. And there will be no freedom in the grave. Nothing will be able to save us, me or you, in the grave. It will be too late then. Yes, and the people who are so-called pious, they don't even think about their spiritual state. They don't have time, rather. They have time to tell other people, but they don't have time. He thinks he's a sheikh or the scholar, but he doesn't have time to delve inside himself. And the most diseases and sicknesses are within those people, say subhanAllah. Why? Because I am not just a doctor, I'm a consultant of this field. Not just doctor, I'm the consultant of this field. That's why I'm explaining this point to you. Otherwise, I wouldn't speak so openly with you. SubhanAllah. So for Allah's sake, accept you are sick, yaar, my friend. Don't consider, why are you pretending you're healthy? Yes, Allah's Nabi Sallam has told us in the grave there's adab, punishment. What are they getting punishment for? Sin, this A, B, C, D, everything's been explained to us. Yes, and those who come to the grave recite Surah Fatiha, Hazrat Sahib, the scholar, they're doing God for him, and he's getting azab inside, and he's screaming, for the sake of Allah, don't deceive yourselves, correct yourself now before you come into the grave like I have, and please eliminate your sins in the world Allah's prepared. And we were in deception, I never followed the path of the tasawwuf, taqabbur, pride prevented me, my nafs stopped me, says the person in the grave, screaming out at those who come to do dua for him. You understand what I'm saying? This is how much happiness there is, alhamdulillah, when a sister or a brother, when I see them, they come forward and say, Hazrat Shaykh, please teach me dhikr. And they present their assessment. SubhanAllah, what does the Quran say? Allah says to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Surah Mumtana, O my Habib, my beloved Prophet, the believing women will be coming to you and please accept their bayah, pledge of allegiance. And do the islah, the same sister happens now. When a person comes to me, a student, I say, SubhanAllah, you send this student to me for treatment. This sister, you give them the guidance towards me, and so much Allah, you love this sister or this brother and you want to give them guidance. And you are giving me the instruction to give them bayah as a sheikh and enable that person to do tawbah. And tawbah from what? Repentance. Allah's given a complete list. I won't do this sin now. And there's a list that when you repent and do tawbah at the hands of the shaykh, in the company of the shaykh, under the guidance of the shaykh, you don't think I'm going to become a wali, kutab, or ghaus, or wali Allah, or pious. No. The instruction is this. The complete ayah is this. That, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Allah says, oh my prophet, they will promise they won't do shirk or zina or lie or steal. When they accept these conditions, then give them the bayah, the pledge of allegiance. Subhanallah. This is called bayat islahi, bayah of rectification, bayah of purification. That's why the student goes to the shaykh, that the student accepts. So when I went to my teacher, my shaykh, I said the same words to him. My shaykh asked me, why have you come to me? My teacher said, just like Allah said to the Prophet ﷺ, and I had no akal. And then my shaykh asked me, why have you come to me? Why have you traveled here? What shall I do for you? Shall I give you ta'weez, dua? Why have you come here? I said, Hazrat Sahib, just I have come for no other reason. I just have come to your company because I want to leave the dunya. He said, right, sit here with me. He said, yeah, sit here next to me. My shaykh said. And then he said a beautiful statement, that from morning till evening, thousands of people come to me. But thousands, millions have never seen a person like you who came to me today and say, purify me, I want to leave the dunya. And you will not leave here from my side, Hazrat Sahib said to me. Oh, Kamil Wali, Kamil Wali. It was Zuhr time. My Shaykh said, you will not leave my side. Until evening you will sit with me. After that we will come out. After coming out, I will announce for you that he has become a Wali Allah. Subhanallah. And this is what happened. He kept me seated. He kept me seated until Asr. We kept on discussing. I had no beard before that. I just went like from here, from this country. Studied here. Intellect here. No qualifications. Nothing at all. No understanding of deen. And Allah likes those people. That the more dirty, sinful person, Allah Ta'ala says, that's the person I give my guidance to. And this is the shan of the Wali Allah. Subhanallah. In front of the ocean, who are we? The ocean, the shaykh, the teacher is calling, come, come, you are dirty, jump inside me, says the ocean. I'm clean and I'll purify you at the same time. This is how the walis of Allah call out. Come to me, student, I'm pure and I'll purify you as well at the same time. So your niyyah, your intention should be correct. Not that you want to be a wali Allah, not that you want to be pious. Maghrib azan took place that day. And a wali Allah at that time had become. Why? Because from the Wali Allah, my teacher, he said, that's it. He said that. So if he said it, end of story. And people came, old students. They started saying, Faruqi Sahib, the 30, 40 years. But was my Hazrat Sahib was a great sheikh. Great sheikh. And thousands, tens of thousands, mufti scholars used to come to him. And they saw this, that a young man's come, 30 years old, he has no beard. And he speaks English. And he's come and sat in front of Hazrat Sahib just today. Until evening, he's been given all these titles and he's become a leader, Khalifa of Hazrat Sahib. Deputy, they went silent. The Jamaat arrived to Hazrat Sahib, a group of people. They said, Hazrat Sahib, they couldn't complain, they had other manners. They said, Hazrat Sahib, this person, everything that's happened is beyond our understanding. This is a true story I'm telling you. True story. In front of Allah, no one can challenge Allah's decision, Allah's choice. Well, Allah says, whoever I want to give to, I can make any person what I want. So today we are losing because of our taqabbar. We can't become walis of Allah because of pride. Otherwise every day Allah calls out, come to me, ask from me, I want to give you the high rank, the high status. But we don't want it from Allah. We don't want it. We say, no, we're not sick, I'm fine, I'm pure, I'm the best Muslim. I have no deficiencies. We all say this. And so much dirt, not even a dog has so much dirt, the amount of dirt we have inside us. Even that dog is cleaner than us inside, the more dirt that we have inside us. And even we are not even true servants of our Lord. We're not true servants and followers of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We are munafiqs, hypocrites. We come into Allah's masjid and we wear the libas of those who oppose Him. And we make the appearance, the face like those who oppose Him. And we follow their lifestyle and we prefer that. Yes, for those people we do dua in Salah Adana Siratul Mustaqim Siratul Ladin Anam Talim Ghairil Maghdubi Alaihimul Ad-Dalin. And from top to toe we are the same like that. Head to toe. So can there be a bigger prophet, a hypocrite than this in this generation, Tommy? Rather, they themselves says, we have no problem. Why do you imitate us? I've heard myself that your deen, your religion is so good. Why don't you practice your religion, they ask us. Why are you following us? They don't say nothing. We are the ones who are the sidekicks and we're licking up. It doesn't bother them. It doesn't bother them. Our libas, our dress code, our appearance, our face, they're not bothered by that. They're not afraid about that. They're happy. It's we who are scared. We are scared. I ask you a question. Until today, has anyone said to you, why do you wear Islamic dress? Yes, yes, even me. I've lived here. I've run a business. I've run an occupation. They're not bothered. What you wear, how you look, they won't stop you. They have no need to say anything to you. Yes, they say, great, very good, he's a great man, he has an identity, a way of life. They're not bothered. Yes, the rest are people, yeah, there's jealousy, there's envy, there's always the sections of society like that. He's from Bombay, he's from this place, he's Barochi, he's Surati. These classifications we have within our own society. So you can't complain that they laugh or there's someone who sniggers at you. So it's ourselves we've left our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ourselves we've betrayed him. Who told you that you can't go to the office with the Islamic address or Islamic libas, etc.? Who says you can't go like this? It's ourselves who say we can't do this. Yes, we're so happy when we imitate opposite lifestyle. Oh, I've got protection. Everyone you ask, where have they got? No connection with them. So what bigger hypocrisy can there be in our lives? And we say there's no disease inside us, no sickness inside us. Allah Ta'ala even wants us such a human being. It doesn't matter who he is. Doesn't matter who he is. Who is practicing against my deen. Who has an opposition to my deen. And you have love for that person. Then you are the biggest enemy, Allah says, of mine. Biggest opposition. One human being. Who criticizes the blessed beard of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muslim, so called. Muslim I'm talking about. Yes, because the people who don't have Islam, they don't go into that field. What's this you're keeping on your face? Women. And the women folk, they criticize the beard. They said, we don't like the beard. The worst criticism. Otherwise, what's the reason? Tell me, say subhanAllah. The third thing, don't utilize, if you don't do an action, you don't do a blessed sunnah action, the reason is because I don't like it. Say subhanAllah. There's no other reason. And the reason for practicing the sunnah is because I like the sunnah. So he's not saying from his tongue he doesn't like it, but unconsciously inside him, all the diseases are hidden within that person. And this is the biggest disease, that your Prophet, you don't love him, you talk rubbish and nonsense. Your sujood, your prostration is a waste of time. If you loved your Prophet, then every word of his you would accept and love it. And his practices, his sunnahs, you would embrace them and practice them. His practices, his sunnahs, that Allah swears in the Quran, Allah says, oh my Nabi, I swear by your Umar, I swear by your city, where you put your blessed feet, I swear by that foot, by that earth. And today we say it's too hard for us to keep the beard, it's too hard for us to follow the sunnah. Oh, just, and he says he's a Muslim, that person. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is a sickness. So extract this disease from within. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by not practicing a sunnah, that person is a hypocrite, because it doesn't suit that person. He has no respect for the sunnah, and he talks rubbish that he loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is opposite. I swear, and I say this, I told you I'm the consultant. I told you that person has hypocrisy inside him. I'm not criticizing that person. I'm not mocking that person. It's my duty to extract the sin from that person. I want to explain to you, it's my duty that inside you, that sickness is hidden, buried inside you. I'm not saying that I'm better than you. I swear by Allah, I am worse than the dust on your slippers. I'm worse. I swear by Allah, and I say this. I'm just saying it for this reason, that my profession, my occupation, the permission I've been given, it's my duty to tell you this sin is inside you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Otherwise, mashallah, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you've got respect for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your heart, then their lifestyle is completely unique. If he says he's from Makkah, then he'll start to kiss that person's feet because he honors him. That mashallah, your feet, you've come from Medina. So much respect. Mashallah, so beloved are your footsteps. That mashallah, the dust on your feet is so great because you've come from that blessed and holy place. It's not Sharia point there, no Hadith point here. It's just the love for those people, that mashallah, that person, the human beings from those holy locations, so much adab, that dust on which your feet is, subhanAllah, you're so great. So these are the emotions, the feelings of the heart. So don't do fake actions, don't be fake, because the fake person is the biggest munafiq, biggest hypocrite. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, so when you give a fake, not genuine love or respect to people, no, be a true lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That not to show people, but you should have extreme love for a person due to his piety. I saw a person that, mashallah, as soon as he came, and whenever he heard the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the tears used to come from his eyes. He used to be like sneezing. And he'd be have high emotions because he heard the name of the Prophet. He had genuine love inside his heart. So we need to extract the sense, the real healthy person is that person. Do you understand now who's a healthy person and who's a sick person? Spiritually healthy person, man, woman, is a lover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, true lover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he loves every physical sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Without thinking, without understanding, without proof. He says, this is in hadith, Sahih Bukhari, Imam Malik, Imam Muslim. They wrote these hadith for this reason, that when you read the hadith, you have love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For what other reason have they collected these hadith? Read the hadith, develop the love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your heart. Yes, listen to the hadith and develop the love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your heart. And that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mashallah, your qameez, your shoes, your libas, your attire, your lifestyle, every book of the hadith, every collection of hadith has books, sections, chapters on the beloved habits. We don't even go beyond wearing a cap. We don't understand. Why do we wear white clothes? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I prefer the white clothes. Why do we give white shroud to those who die? When you like the black clothes, you wear the black clothes when you, in your life in the world, you like blue, or you like flashy clothes, silky clothes with glitter and different colors. Then my brothers, if you like them so much, then why don't you shroud the deceased with those colors? You like those clothes so much. It's not wajib fard to shroud your dead with the white. Show me, is there a hadith that says it's fard, you must shroud the people with the white, otherwise there will be no janazah, no forgiveness? No. Put any color you want around them. Yes. So why do we wear white ihram? Yes. It's not fard to wear white ihram when you go Hajj Umrah. Tell me. So why do we wear white? So all life long then, why don't we do the action, those actions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked? Why don't we do that all our lives? He says, is there a difference? Those things that the Rasulullah ﷺ liked and those things that he disliked of his present. Look at the big difference. The Prophet ﷺ said that, I don't know about other colors, but white color, I like the white color because the white color is the remembrance of Allah. So when I say the libas on your body is doing dhikr of Allah, your libas, the white color, because the Prophet ﷺ liked it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So why don't we do it? Because we have a sickness inside us. These are symptoms, I'm telling you, symptoms. So when these symptoms are present inside you, the biggest symptoms, the person who doesn't have the love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and their style, lifestyle, different things, that how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam go to sleep? Subhanallah, did he put surma on his eyes? How did he do that? How did he wear? How did he eat? How did he go to sleep? How did he wake up? How did he drink the water? Inside us, when we have this yearning and love, then you will get the symptoms of the lover of the Prophet ﷺ, and the effects will come in your lifestyle. Automatically your lifestyle will tell you that what you are. The grave, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, the grave will either be a portion of paradise or it'll be a portion of hellfire. Hell. And how, why will it become a portion of Jannah when the human being in this world extracts his sicknesses spiritually and he leaves the world? What does the grave say? I'll tell you the hadith. The grave says, welcome, welcome, marhaba. I was waiting for you for so long, oh man. When you used to walk on the earth, the crust of the earth, you were my, I was waiting for you, says the grave. I loved you at that time when you were wandering around the earth, in the world, and you used to get rid of your sins and defects. The grave says, I was waiting for you. Now you've come to me. Look how I treat you nicely, that I welcome you warmly and accept you, and I welcome you, and I give you the presentation of paradise. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, so this is good news for you people, mashallah, I'm telling you. You're not wasting time sitting here. You're not wasting time. Yeah, la yishku julusim. Those people who sit with the pious people, never will they leave empty-handed from this world. This is a hadith. Never will they leave empty-handed. This is what I tell you. You understand what I'm saying? So the grave says, I was waiting for you for so long. When you were in the world, you were working hard to remove your sins. You knew those sins, that they will come out in the world. But you knew that in the grave you get punishment due to your sins. So you got rid of them. You weren't worried about flu or bacterial germs. You were bothered in the life in the world to get rid of the real permanent sins that will give you punishment in the grave. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you've removed all of them. So you've removed all of them, left them in the world. Then listen, says the grave, I'll welcome you. Come inside me. Soon as that person's buried in the grave, it doesn't remain as a grave then. In hadith is stated, expands so wide, far and wide the grave. And that person thinks, where have I arrived to? Where am I? Is this my grave? Then the door to paradise is opened up for that person in the grave. And the fresh, cool breeze, beautiful of Jannah comes in. The fragrances of paradise come in the grave. Then that person's asked, do you want to go back to the world? You say, are you mad? Are you mad? You want me to go back to the world to give taxes and bills? Go back to the world. I'm millions of times grateful to Allah. I got rid of the sicknesses of my sins in the world. Look at this grave I've got today. Paradise. What did he do? He just worked hard a bit in the world and he understood that I've got sicknesses inside me. And let me get rid of them right now while I'm alive. That's the real man. Whether he did get rid of them or not, he's not bothered. He was trying. Here on earth we have to make effort. And he accepted and he understood, I don't want to leave this world as a sick person. I want to leave healthily. So will we try, inshallah? Do you understand what I'm saying today? So now we need to get to the next stage. If we've understood, we've got symptoms, we've got the sins, keep on analyzing, assessing, oh, this sickness, this sin. Let's try to get rid of these sins. How? Then you need to go to the doctor, physician. Let's go to the doctor. Go straight. Oh, Hazrat Sahib, I can't leave lying. Oh, what should I say? He'll say, I'm lying myself. How can I get rid of this? Yeah, Dr. Sahib, you'll say, I lie myself. Oh, I can't get rid of the lying here. Oh, look, so I'll give you some injections though if you want. I'll give you some pills. So Allah's prepared for the spiritually sick person. He doesn't go to the physical doctor, the GP. Qunu ma sadiqeen, Allah says. Look for the consultant, sadiqeen, who can identify your spiritual symptoms. Allah says, I've sent those people to the world. I've sent them. All of the prophets, Allah says, are sent for this reason. From Adam alayhi salam to the Holy Prophet, all the prophets came, they had no other objective. They had one objective. They came to planet Earth, to society, to man, to get rid of their spiritual deficiencies so they can go straight to paradise. Do you understand the point now? So all the prophets came for this objective, same purpose. And all of them treated their societies and their peoples that get out. Don't lie. Don't break the promise. Don't do this. Don't do this. All the prophets came with the same message. And the Holy Prophet said plain clear. Utmimu akhlaq. I came to improve the akhlaq, the conduct, the manners of human beings. The Holy Prophet said clearly this was my objective. For this reason, all of the Sahaba, the noble companions, they were munfarid, they were unique, they were different. The Sahaba. Why? Because the first treatment they attained from the Holy Prophet, some from the greatest doctor. So here, let me tell you one point here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever He wanted to rectify and improve a group of people, listen carefully to what I'm saying. What's coming in my heart? It's coming. Allah's given the inspiration from above. The points come in my heart, so I'll tell you. So that we understand the importance of this action for which shaitan has said there's no necessity. Dhikr Allah, you don't need to do dhikr. Go to Wali Allah, Shaykh Len, dhikr. Waste of time, says shaitan. But there's a massive objective behind it. Shaykhul Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Abdullah, today you joke against the people of the Khankas, but tomorrow you'll realize what they've taken from the world. The people and Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith wrote this in Tablighi Nisab. That tomorrow you will realize the people of the Khankas who worked hard in the world, what's the maqam in the hereafter? They didn't sit and waste their time in the company of the Waliyullah. They didn't sit and waste their time in the majalis for nothing. So, whenever Allah wanted to improve a nation to eliminate their diseases, what did Allah do? Allah sent His Nabi, a prophet, to improve that society, those people in that era, in that age. Without the Prophet, no previous nation, no history can you read that without the Prophet's guidance were they improved, rectified. So listen, why did Allah send a Prophet, a messenger, a Nabi? The Anbiya came sometimes, and with them Allah gave them kitabs as well. So two things, one is kitab, and second is the physical prophet, Nabi, messenger. Listen to this carefully. Very important point. The Nabi came and the Kitab came. The prophet came and the Kitab came. Why did Allah send the prophet and the Kitab? To improve the akhlaq, the conduct, the characters of these human beings. So they can be better people. But many prophets came like this. They weren't given a kitab. They were not given a book. But they had the same objective. They came to rectify and improve the human being. So what we learn is that islah, rectification of the human being, that without any individual it cannot take place. It's impossible. Do you understand the point? Without the guidance of a human being. So definitely you need a physical teacher, guide who can rectify you. Yes? Even if you have a book or not, but it's necessary, essential to have the man as the guide. Until today, it's never occurred that Allah never sent a prophet, but Allah sent a kitab and said to the human beings that followed the kitab. Can you read anything in history with that? That a prophet didn't come, but Allah sent and descended, allowed a book of Taurat, Injil. Allah, I don't need to send the prophet, all the humans will read the kitab, they'll be rectified. Never did this occur. But it did occur that the kitab didn't come, but the Nabi did come without a book, without scripture. So we learn without a book, no problem, but it's essential to have the human being as the guide. Do you understand the point? So here what we learn is that to do islah, to rectify yourself, to eliminate your defects, and this silsila continued, the prophets came, they went, the kitabs came, they went, islah came and went, then eventually a time came after which there will be no Nabi to come. This happened, isn't it? Who the final kitab came, the Quran, and the final prophet Rasulullah came and he passed away. Then did the silsila of rectification finish? No. Did Allah not want to guide the people? Yes. So sunnat ilahi continues. Allah said that I stopped sending the Nabis, but he was the final prophet in such a way that he prepared such human beings, the Sahaba, and he left such guidance that until Qiyamah, the day of judgment, with this barakah of him, the Prophet, I will keep on sending the guides that if you sit in their company, you will be improved and rectified. Subhanallah. And that they are the real deputies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you understand my point, what I'm saying? So that chain has continued. So the waris, the deputy of the Prophet, is that person who sits in the company of a wali Allah and his akhlaq, his conduct and manners are improved. Say subhanallah. So when you sit in the company of a teacher and your akhlaq is improved, that teacher is the deputy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he's doing the work of the deen of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Say subhanallah. Kitab, we have no need for the kitab. We have no need to say that the kitab physically in front of you, even if you don't have the kitab, but you have the necessity, essential, that you must take the physical company of a guide until Qiyamah. That is essential. Why is there condition? Because the Nabi is gone and to replace him, Allah says, I'll send the deputies in their place. What's the reason for this? Because the most important thing I'm telling you here is that a human being is improved through one thing, and that is physical company of the teacher. Physical company is necessary. Not through a kitab, not through dars, not through a speech or a lecture. No connection. A human being, any person, if he has a company of a teacher, and that teacher is the waris, the deputy of the Prophet ﷺ, whoever sits in his company, then that company will rub off onto that student. That company will rub off the good effects, because the akhlaq, the conduct improves due to the company of a teacher. Abu Bakr Siddiq was due to company of the Prophet ﷺ. Omar, due to the company. He had no kitab, no ibadah, no worship, nothing. Just one thing they had, the blessed company of Rasulullah ﷺ, the Sahaba had. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now we understand. So how can we improve our deficiencies, our sicknesses within us, inside our hearts? Do you understand the point? What's the path that Allah has given to us as a solution that we can remove our defects and go into our grave so the grave welcomes us? And this becomes our objective of life every second. Whoever does not have this motto, mission in his life as a Muslim, he's destroying his life. Brother and sister, they stood at the banks of hell. I swear by Allah, they are immersed and drowned in deception if they don't have a teacher. Any field of any Muslim doing work of the deen, and he has no concern to have guidance. For the sake of Allah, open your eyes and understand the Quran, the guidance of the Quran. Do you understand the point I made? One concern you should have if you got iman. Be grateful, Allah, my Mawla, my Lord, you've given me iman. I don't want to waste my belief. Now I will keep on assessing myself. And my sicknesses, I want to extract them from inside me. And Allah, you prescribed the path. Very easy solution. Go find a sheikh, wali Allah, pledge allegiance in his hands, and he will guide you to remove your defects and your sins. Do you understand the point now? So, whoever wants to improve himself, rectification according to the guidance of the Quran and the Hadith. Understand what I'm saying? Whoever doesn't do that, he is the foolish, stupid person, and he's got a big message here today, that tomorrow your death will come. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained that you can see the azab that have been mentioned in the hadith, and you have these sicknesses, and you are a liar, you have envy, you're munafiq, hypocrite. Go to the mirror, O Wali Allah, and show him and explain to him and accept and admit your sins so he can improve you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Very big learning this is. Very big learning that the sins within us, we need to identify them. Don't hide them. Don't hide them. Cure them. Get the treatment for them. First of all, correct your intention. That I will go to a sheikh, a teacher, and I'll have only one intention. That I want to improve myself as a Muslim. Just one person who has this intention, this niyyah. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Each and every one of us here, if I make the niyyah today, I want to improve myself, and I don't even arrive and find a sheikh, and while I'm finding him, I pass away, I will die as the high level believer. Because there then a siratul mustaqim, at least he's practicing the path. He understood the message. Surah Al-Fatiha, you understood the message. Look at the message of Surah Al-Fatiha. It says, and this is the case, that the whole Quran is summarized in Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha is the summary of the Quran. And the summary of Surah Al-Fatiha is in one verse. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. So what we learn, the whole Quran is teaching us that keep on looking for the straight path. Looking for the straight path. Keep on searching for the straight path. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. This verse summarizes the Quran. And what is the straightforward path? To do your islah, rectification, in the guidance of a teacher, day and night. I've got this sickness, this sin, this defect of the world, this spiritual disease of the world. Live in the world in such a way that you keep on purifying, cleaning yourself. And don't consider any sickness or disease as a minor. Accept your sickness. Look, I'm not doing this, I'm doing this sin, I'm a munafiq. If you're not following the guidance of the Prophet, accept I'm a munafiq, hypocrite. How can I say I'm a mu'min when Allah said that I'm not? So I need to look for the cure, the treatment, and follow the path of the treatment. And then when you go to the company and take the hand of the sheikh with a complete 100% clean niyyah, that I am a gunegar, sinful person, my teacher, I'm sinful, I accept that, I'm a criminal, and I'll explain, I do this sin, and consider, and I'll accept my sins, I'll be ashamed that I do these sins. Ashamed. And as soon as you explain, I'll keep on trying, I'll keep on taking the guidance, and I'll keep on trying. So for this, what we need to do islah, rectification, we need a physical teacher. Do you understand the first point? Not a kitab, not a book to read, not a lecture, not speeches, not conferences, no dars. What do we need? We need sohbat-e-sheikh, the company of the teacher, physical company of the teacher. That's the most important solution to eradicate our sins. So sohbat, mashallah, you have the understanding of the tasawwuf, you are Sufi students, so shall I explain to you what is sohbat? Sohbat, company of the teacher, there are three levels of sohbat that the teachers of the tasawwuf have taught us. Say subhanallah. Three levels. Al-Laqay, Al-Aqasi. Al-Laqay, these are the terms of sohbat, company of the teacher. Al-Aqasi, Al-Qay, Ittahadi. These are the three levels. There are three things that you learn from the teacher. I'll make that easy for you to understand, inshallah. I'll tell you easily. One person comes to the sheikh, the teacher, like student, say you've come to me like you have come today. You've come here, isn't it, today? And who am I to you? Say it loudly. I am what? Am I your uncle, your mamu, your chachu, your brother, your father, your friend? No, what am I? Say loudly. I am? Yes, the teacher. So mashallah, this is the path that we come for. The sheikh, the teacher. The teacher is a unique individual. So when the murid, the student goes to the sheikh, the teacher, then he gets one of these three things. Either he'll get an aqasi, the company. This is fairs, the blessings that Allah will give to that person. The noor, the light Allah will develop in the heart of the student. Surur, just like you're sat here attentive, paying attention. Detached from the dunya, your heart is enjoying, I want to leave the sins, I want to do this, I want to do this. You come into the emotion of acceptance of the deen. As long as you are sat in the company of the teacher, you have that feeling. Say subhanallah. Yeah, you're not looking left and right, dunya, you're listening, attentive. That's how you're sitting, isn't it? There's no face I can see here. I'm not looking at anyone who's fed up, who's frustrated, anxious. Rather, you take an interest. You go further. You go into, no one's looking at his watch, how much time left, when can I leave here, I want to get out of here. You're all enjoying, inshallah, isn't it? Understanding. So this is an aqasi, fares, blessings, that the fares of the teachers arriving to the student. And this, if you establish this, is then always you will stay like this, inshallah, always, that I won't do this, I won't do this. You'll enjoy, nur ala nur will keep coming to you. But it's sad to say, that in aqasi, the sohbah, the blessings, the affairs from the teacher, this is temporary. It's only for the time being. It's reflective, just for that time being. Soon as you leave the as you come to the company of the teacher, you'll attain that blessings. And as soon like somebody's come to meet me, or you come to say salam to me, to ask a question, and then when you sit, during that duration, you will feel that emotion and goodness and well-being. You got that experience, you can feel that. And your feeling, emotion will change, you'll feel nice and good that you're in the company of the teacher. According to your status, the amount you can pull and take the fares, even if the munafiqeen, not the munafiqeen, mashallah, that's a separate group, munafiqs, the nifaq in the heart there's something, in the face there's something. I'm not talking about those people. Those who are sincere and have the love and the respect and regard for the teacher. And mashallah, they consider their shaykh as a teacher, and they accept his words, and they accept his teachings. I'm talking about that, not the munafiqeen, not the hypocrites. Munafiqeen, they will not learn anything, doesn't matter where he sat, where he is. Only that person will feel the goodness who's the real true student. Remember this point. Yes, this is the difference. So as long as he sat, the student will get the enjoyment. Soon as he leaves the company, then that emotion will change. Just like the Sahaba. The Sahaba Ikram, they learned the Naqasi al-Qai al-Tahadi. Three grades. Different Sahaba, they got different benefits at different times. One Sahabi came, "Oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm extremely upset that when I sit with you, I'm something different. My iman is on a high level. When I leave your blessed company, I feel like I don't have that level. This is all tasawwuf." He said, "When I leave your blessed company, then I feel that I'm worthless." So he explained that, "Naqasi, oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please help me." Rasulullah sallam said, "This is what happens. The heart, it fluctuates. It changes its state." So this was the first temporary that you would attain in the company of the Prophet ﷺ. Then Ittahadi, which is the highest grade of his blessings. And who attained that? Abu Bakr Siddiq attained that. What was his condition? Always he was in the same state of affairs and iman. Always in the same state. And his emotion was this. He said, "I want my eyesight, and it's your blessed face, Rasulullah. I want my daughter, and she's wedded to you. And it's my wealth, oh Rasulullah, and I spend it on you." This was Abu Bakr Siddiq. Ittahadi. What's the second level? Al-Maqasi. And you have the middle state. This higher than the initial state. What's that? That you sit with the sheikh, the teacher. And I'm talking about the real student, genuine student, the sheikh's murids. And he sits with the teacher, he goes to the teacher, and he has a strong feeling. And the tawajjuh, the attention that the teacher gives to the student, is a bit higher than the normal student. And his emotion is such that he enjoys when he's in company with the teacher. And when he departs, then for quite some time he feels good and he feels strong. And he keeps on remembering the teacher, and he keeps on remembering what's been said in the company. And then slowly, slowly he diminishes as well, and he delays in meeting the teacher or taking the sohbah. So just like I said to you, for example, from 1 week to the next week, from one Thursday night to the next Thursday night, he gets weaker. But the third emotion of sohbah is ittahadi, the strong state, which is the great status. And what's the difference? The person who attains this, and he gets the attention and the tawajjuh of the shaykh regularly, then inside that person is ittahadi, that it never diminishes his strength of his iman and his height. And he becomes like the teacher, that student. And the safat, the qualities of the teacher come to the person. This is ittahadi effect and qualities of the sohbat of the teacher. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is Sufi majlis, so I'm explaining these points to you. So when a murid goes to the teacher, one of these three benefits you'll get. You'll get the lower level, middle level, or the higher level of fares and blessings from the teacher. So when you arrive, you should accept that I'm in a place of good place. And for example, if you get the blessings, so what you should do, you should preserve that. I don't want to lose these blessings. I don't want to lose these. So you need to have one thing to preserve the blessings, that don't commit the sins after the company of the teacher. Preserve the fares blessings, then your emotions will stay constant. Just like itahadi, the highest level of blessings, so strong is that you become like the teacher, inwardly and outwardly. And the good characteristics and qualities of the teacher are apparent in your lifestyle. And this will also diminish if you start to commit the sins and you will lose out. So the condition is don't commit the sins. May Allah Ta'ala give us itahadi, the high level affairs that we benefit from the teacher. So this is about company of the shaykh I was discussing. So how does a Muslim get improved? How does he eradicate the spiritual sicknesses and inside the heart? From the company of the teacher. Company, sohbat. So the more the person has the company of the teacher, the more he has, he gets close to the teacher, and more the good qualities of the teacher rub off onto the student. And the further he is away, the further he has the company of the teacher, then he diminishes, then the more sicknesses start to come and diseases and sins. More as he gets closer to the company of the teacher, then his sicknesses are eliminated. So if you want to eliminate your sicknesses and diseases, then take more and more connection, more and more sohbat of your teacher. And for this you have to do sacrifice. Just like 3,000 miles away my teacher was, I wanted to eliminate my diseases. So regularly I used to travel 3,000 miles to my teacher, physically. Because you have to sacrifice when you have love for somebody. You have to sacrifice. Yes? This is the rule of the world. To get Jannah, paradise, you have to give some sacrifice. So Allah Ta'ala tested me that your sheikh, I won't give to you in the UK, go 3,000 miles away. You have to travel this much. You have to travel far and for a few days. Then you'll get the company. And the more you go, the more you visit him, the more you'll get progression and advancement. So what do you want? Do you want dunya, the world, or do you want elevation? I said, I want elevation, Allah. Then Allah said, keep on traveling. Go and meet your sheikh. No money, my shop's running, I had to leave my everything, and then my whole life I spent in this journey, in this traveling. Yes, with the fadl, the grace of Allah, with Allah's permission, because I understood that I'll pass away, that at least, alhamdulillah, I will be included amongst the list of people I was trying. I didn't eliminate all my sicknesses, I'm a big patient, sick person, but at least Allah will accept that I tried and made effort to eradicate my diseases. So this is the objective of life we must make, my friends. Don't run after, we travel for money, for wealth, we run for jobs, careers, and professions, and eventually we retire, and then we start to get the pension, my new pension. My brothers, at least think for a few minutes for the permanent life in the hereafter. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, so find the company of a wali Allah. And after finding the company, don't waste time, then take the benefits of his company. Increase your love for that teacher. Maintain that connection. Strengthen connection from an akasi to, and get to the tahadi, the highest level of company of that teacher. For which reason? So that you can manufacture your hereafter. Improve your hereafter. So that your grave welcomes you openly, expands, that this person's affairs, and take the treasures of the grave, of paradise. Understand your objective of life. Do you understand what I'm saying? So for this reason, whenever you look for a doctor, a spiritual doctor, then what do? Physical bodily issues, you look for a GP closest to your house so you can get there quickly and get the medicine. You do this, don't you? You don't want to travel. When I look for a doctor, I want to find a GP near my house, easy to get an appointment. That GP, they're all the same. So it's better to get one close by, isn't it? Someone near me, I can get there quickly, I can show my symptoms, he can give me medicine quickly, go to the pharmacy. We want quick, rush, so we can get the medicine quickly. So my brothers, why don't you find that doctor spiritually who, mashallah, he should be very close to you, isn't it? He should be very close to you. In other words, if you got a GP who is so close to you, if you don't want to find a doctor far, so do dua, Allah, give me such a physician, spiritual physician, who is close to me, so I can get to him quick. And if you get someone close to you, then consider yourself as the most fortunate human being, that day and night you're seeing him, day and night you're meeting him, day and night you're sitting with him, and the affairs and the love you're getting from him. That whenever you meet, when in majlis, in a gathering, and mashallah, he's a good murid, he's not a munafiq, hypocrite, then remember this point. Totally understand this point. La yashqa julusim. That 5 minutes sitting in the company of the teacher is like you are leaving and departing with the fields and the fruits of paradise from the company. You will never leave empty-handed. The biggest loser student in the hereafter is that person whose sheikh is closer to him, and he's a murid, the student, and he's a good student, but in the company he was lazy in going to the gatherings of the teacher. We are lazy that we don't even attend the majalis, the gatherings, the daily gatherings. How much we'll lose in the hereafter, imagine. Do you understand what I'm saying or not? Yes, has the penny dropped? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So just what I've said in summary is that we are sick people. We should accept we are sick and we are spiritually sick. Nobody's healthy. If we want to fi qulubihim marada, if we don't identify, accept and extract our sicknesses, remember there are severe punishments. All the punishments in the hereafter, in the grave, are all due to our spiritual maladies that are inside us now, if we don't eradicate them. They'll all come out in the grave. And nothing can solve our spiritual sicknesses. You're lying. You can do tawaf all day long. The Kaaba, lying will not leave us. The lying will stay. Even after tawaf, until you don't do tawbah, repent and do your islah. Why? Because you should consume the medicine that kills the germs and the bacteria. If you don't consume the medicine that kills off the germs and the bacteria, the disease will stay. So all the diseases inside us, they are eradicated, killed off with the dhikr of Allah, that you must learn from the wali Allah, the sheikh. I'll tell you hadith and then I'll summarize and I'll finish. As Abu Razin radiyallahu anhu, great companion, Abu Razin radiyallahu anhu. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the whole Quran is full of verses regards to Allah's remembrance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abu Razin, shall I tell you such an action today? I'll tell you such an action today. Listen carefully. So now we need to utilize this medicine. He said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'll tell you such an action that your deen will become solid and strong. Subhanallah, to a sahabi. And this message went to the sahabi who then told us, in that era when deen was spreading and was at its heights, and today, subhanallah, you cannot imagine, we've made a game out of the deen. A game, the deen has become such a game. Not outside, but even the masjids, the deen has become a game. It's become a joke. We jest against the deen. The fear of Allah has entered. Yes, the worst era and generation we are sat in here is today. The worst era. Very quickly, Allah's azabs, we are about to fall into them. All of us, the worst era. There's no dirty era before today. I say, maybe this is the final time. Maybe the final time is here. Maybe Mahdi al-Islam is here. We are in that era. All the signs, the minor signs of the hereafter are here. Everything is present, solid. That how we are immersed in the darkness, we don't know. This is our spiritual state of affairs today, and our iman is so weak. But which Rasulullah said that such a time will come, in the morning he's a disbeliever, in the evening he's a believer. In the evening he's a believer, in the morning he's a disbeliever. We're in that era now. So with regards to this, the hadith, has Rasulullah said, Abu Razin, shall I tell you such an action in such a time when your deen will get to such a situation and your deen then can become strong in that time. Subhanallah, do you want this solution? Rasulullah is asking you today, that he's telling you, do you want such a deen? Do you want, tell me, give the answer. Do you want that deen? We should say yes, that we want that deen. We are in that era today, that in the evening is a disbeliever, in the morning a believer, in the morning a believer, in the evening is a disbeliever. Rasulullah has given a solution. Do you want such a solution that your deen becomes so strong, that you are proud of following Rasulullah's path, that nothing in the world can move you from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Don't you want such a deen? Don't you want your heart to become like that? Do you want that deen? Subhanallah, he was surprised, Abu Razin. And then Rasulullah said, that your deen will be so strong and robust. And your both worlds, in other words, this world and the hereafter, both worlds, you will reach to the heights of goodness and reward. Then what else is left? رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنِي حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. We ask for both these things, isn't it? Subhanallah, he was surprised. What am I being given? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling me, what is this solution? What's this medicine he's going to do? He was sahabi. And if today we get this medicine solution, then tell me what a great solution we attain today. What a great assistance and guidance with which, that if I doubt that solution, then I've got the biggest doubt. If I get that solution today, I get the deen of Allah, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and no force of the world will take me away from the deen. No force will take me towards haram. No force will take me towards the sin. Then is there anything left? Anything else left that we don't need? Rasulullah ﷺ said that with this solution, you'll enjoy the world and your dunya will be paradise and your hereafter for sure will be paradise. What is that solution? Will we do the action? And what is the action? And Rasulullah ﷺ is telling us the action. Will we do the action? Then put your hands up. Let's see how many people want to do this action. Put your hands up. Okay, fine. So this is hadith. This is not Sufi sahab, Mufti sahab, or scholar. Who is saying this? the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his tongue only uttered the wahi, the revelation, and nothing else. Whatever he said, end of story. And I know 100% my heart agrees that this deen has come for us, all of us today, this message. And we're stuck in this dunya, this era. So if we do this action that we learn today, alhamdulillah, then all the paths to success will open for us. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, what is this solution? What's this action? Such a big guarantee you're giving. I'll get the dunya, I'll get the hereafter, and true solid deen I'll get. True solid deen. 100% robust. Then listen, Rasulullah said, that if you want Abu Dazeen, then do two actions. Subhanallah. Number one, the pious people, grab hold of the company of the pious people. Take hold of the company of the righteous people. Say subhanallah. The friends of Allah, the mashayikh, grab hold of their majalis strongly. I'm giving you a point here. Point. What's the point? He didn't say that grab hold of dhikr with firmness. There will be many people who do dhikr of Allah. I do dhikr, he does dhikr, he does dhikr. But the friend of Allah, the righteous, pious people, those who remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bring you onto the deen of Allah, grab hold of their gathering. And who is the person who invites you to Allah? And who is it that Allah ta'ala says is my wali? That person was a sanad, an authentic chain back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. He who's been given permission by wali Allah himself that you go and teach the people the name of Allah. So that wali Allah who has ijazah from a wali Allah, who has ijazah from a wali Allah, and he is a wali Allah, and his gathering is the gathering of Allah's remembrance. Say subhanallah. And doesn't matter how many storms come around him, how many people mock him, jest and question him, doubt him, and storms brew around him. You'll have seen this with this faqir, what has happened in his life. The challenges, the highs, the lows, and locked up in such places, total darkness, light was switched off, total isolation, light off, and three doors to go outside, three doors one after the locked, and on the water, poison, can't even drink the water, can't see, can't. Now the total intense darkness, a man sat in the who? And he has no fault, he has done nothing wrong. Say subhanallah. Why? Because I'm a thief, I stole something from somebody, I've done dhulam, oppressed, and is there proof of I said wrong to somebody? Is there a bomb that's being thrown at someone or some poison given? Give some proof, tell me something, brothers and friends. No proof whatsoever. No proof, just one thing. Just opposition. So I'm smiling, laughing. Why? It's not you doing this. Allah is doing this. Allah is doing this. Allah tests. Allah says, I want to see, are you strong and firm or do you run away? Tomorrow you have to come into the playing field. And you have to give dawah to people, invite and come and do your islah. Rectify yourselves. So don't give a wrong false, go and kill this person in this place. He's not a thief. Allah Ta'ala has made him. And Allah is seeing that is he really a genuine servant of mine or not? So Allah tests that person through hardship. So tell me, can anyone stay half an hour in such a place? Can you stay where I have stayed? Without any objective. If I tell you things, you'll be amazed if I tell you details. Have you seen sorrow inside me? Have I said anything negatively in opposition? No. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I'm giving you encouragement, have determination, so you understand my message and you practice. So what's the hadith? That the gathering of the friend of Allah in this day and age, if you get a gathering of a friend of Allah, then you cannot be a greater student. That was the Prophet ﷺ is guaranteeing, whoever goes to the gathering of a company of the pious righteous person, Rasulullah ﷺ guarantees that his deen becomes solid and robust. So what phase is coming? Is this Al-Aqasi phase you're getting or is it Tahadi phase you're getting? The blessings. Solid blessings. So this is the guarantee that whoever attends and sits in the gathering, the company of a righteous, pious person, his deen will become solid. He won't be a munafiq. Because the munafiq, he couldn't be cured in front of the Holy Prophet. How will he be cured in front of the Wali Allah? Munafiq will never be treated. Hypocrite. Yes, the sinful person, doesn't matter how sinful he is, doesn't matter how dark he is, doesn't matter how much smell of sin, but he shouldn't be a munafiq. Alhamdulillah, if a sinful person comes to the majlis, he will be solved and he'll be improved. In his heart, he will start to get the positivity that I'm improved. And he won't die until he gets improved, that person. This is a guarantee of Rasulullah. But he shouldn't be a munafiq, hypocrite. This is the condition. He's sinful, doesn't matter how badly he's a sinner, but he should not be a hypocrite. Because the munafiq always said, I'm fine, I'm not a sinner. And Rasulullah said, I don't need his company. The munafiq said this. And this is the verse I read in front of you. Munafiq has another sign, the pious elders have told us another sign. And I'll repeat that again. Maybe if I forget, then remind me. That the signs of the munafiqs, وَالَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ marada. And there's another sign of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. I'm telling you explanation here. What was their action? Listen carefully. That when a person practices Islam, when he starts to practice Islam, they joke against that person. They're from that group, munafiq. He says, I'm a Muslim. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, you're wearing turban. Aren't you ashamed of this day and age going outside? You're disrespecting us. People are laughing at us. What's these clothes you're wearing of olden times? They discourage the person who's practicing the deen. This is the second sign of the munafiq hypocrite. The second sign of the munafiq. That they run along the generation. They run along the requirements of people. No, Islam's not too strict. You don't have to practice that much. No, people laugh against us, they laugh and joke against us, they mock us. We need to be like them. Whichever country you're in, you should be like that. Whichever part of the world you're in, region, continent, be like that. So the munafiqeen, the second quality of the hypocrites, is that with regards to Islam, they speak negatively. And when they see other people practicing deen, they discourage them. So the answer for that, Allah Ta'ala gave a beautiful answer in the same verse. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ Allah said, stop talking nonsense. You're calling these people mad and they shouldn't practice deen. Look at their appearance and their faces and their lifestyle. Why are these women observing parda, hijab? In this country you observe hijab. Why are you doing this as the hypocrite? Do you understand what I'm saying? So listen to the Quran. Allah replies to these people, they'll do this. And who are those people? They'll be the munafiqs, the hypocrites. Because they'll have hypocrisy in the heart. They'll call themselves believers. They're not. So this is the sign of the munafiq, that he discourages and discredits the practicing believers. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So they're not Muslims, they're munafiqs. They say they're Muslims. They'll pray salah. They'll do all the physical actions. But no, he will follow the ways of the dunya. And those who practice the deen, they'll criticize them, mock them, just against them. Why are you doing this? We will not be able to get the girls out of the house, get the women out of the house, throw them into the dunya. Allah says, this is the sign of those people. Allah says then, Allah gives the answer, this is not the case. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ That those people you're calling stupid, foolish and backward, oh mad hypocrites, they have such great tawakkal and reliance and trust in Allah. They are the muttaqeen people. They are fearful of Allah. You are joking against the taqwa. They have tawakkal and reliance on Allah. They're not mad. They're not foolish. They're not backward. They don't live in the dark ages. They have trust in Allah. They rely on Allah. Find Allah Aziz and Hakim. This is the verse of the Quran, isn't it? For this reason, because they've understood that whatever decisions come from Allah Ta'ala's direction, we will stay steadfast and intact on Allah's deen. And they will always do those actions that Rasulullah has said, instructed according to the sunnah. Doesn't matter how much wealth loss we get in the world, or how much loss we get in the dunya or materially, we never accept that that's a loss. For inna Allah Azizun Hakim, that every decision that Allah Ta'ala has given is Allah's wisdom, and Allah's supreme power that He's given us His decision. And Allah's decisions are in our favor. It's not our loss, rather it's our favor and our benefit. No power of the dunya can give us loss, because whenever Allah Ta'ala decides and instructs and we practice that deen, then this is the correct way for me and the conclusion will be for my benefit. Oh no, take interest. If you don't take interest and bank loans, how will you run your shop businesses? How can you buy properties? How can you make profit? You must follow their ways, otherwise we can't succeed. Allah says, the hypocrite says this, but the Muslimin, they don't do this because they trust in Allah. Because they say, when we follow Allah's instructions, there's no loss for us. Because every decision of Allah, every instruction of Allah is based on wisdom and intellect. So do you understand? And hopefully you'll understand what I'm saying. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَقَّلْ اللَّهِ You're joking against the believers? That man who's practicing Islam, Allah's laws and orders, you're saying he's foolish? Oh, there's loss here, you won't get a job, you won't have a career, how will you get an interview, how will you earn money, how will you save money, how will you succeed in the world, how will you be prosperous? Allah says, you think that person is going in loss? No, they have to work in Allah. We'll practice deen, we'll never lose that. Allah will always elevate us. This is a temporary test in the world, but we'll never consume haram. We will never leave the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So this is the point. So I was requesting that eliminate the disease. That should be the motto and mission of our life, and the method for that, the Quran is prescribed. If you want to eliminate the disease, is the company. We need the company of a wali of Allah. Without the company, we cannot eliminate the disease. Allah Ta'ala has put the cure, the treatment in the company. As soon as you sit in the company of the wali of Allah, the treatment will stop. So Allah's Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave us a hadith regards to this. That if you want to make your yaqeen and deen strong, and you want the goodness in this world and thereafter, the first point is the majalis, the gatherings of dhikr, of the wali of Allah, stick yourself to that gathering. Otherwise, what need does Allah Ta'ala have to establish a gathering of dhikr in Bolton in a masjid? Why is Allah Ta'ala established that? I haven't done this, have I? Who's done this? Allah has done this. For this purpose, reason that the people come, and that what my Habib said, that sit down morning and evening and work hard so that I can forgive thee, get these people forgiven. Allah Ta'ala says, do you understand this? So those who have understanding, wisdom, who understand this hadith, they will never leave this majlis, this gathering. That Allah Ta'ala has established the gathering. The Prophet has instructed that if you want to strengthen your deen, make your deen strong in this era of fasad, disorder, tribulations, and you be steadfast and you're safe from all wrong and you're established on the sunnah of the Prophet, there's one cure. Wherever this majlis is taking place, arrive there and stick to that gathering. And that person is fortunate that who have the gathering near them, they can come easily to the gathering, physically. Alhamdulillah. And those who have lost out, Allah Ta'ala has prepared for them. They gather around online. Yes, and the fares arrives to them, the blessings arrive to them, arrives to the sisters, to the women folk. So this is the most important action in this day and age, in this era, the biggest ibadah and worship, the biggest action you can do, the most pure ibadah, the Prophet ﷺ explained, are the majalis of dhikr, the gathering of dhikr. Leave everything else, leave other actions to improve yourself, to rectify yourself. Accept what I'm saying. I'm not saying this with pride. This is in the light of the hadith, I'm telling you. If any individual wants to be improved and better himself, leave all other actions and leave this and grab hold of this action. Wherever there's a majlis, the gathering of the wali of Allah, go and sit there where the dhikr of Allah is taking place. So Allah says, first, the majalis of the awliya Allah, the friend of Allah. And secondly, when you are alone, in other words, you've left the majlis and you're away for the rest of the day, whenever, for the rest of the time when you're alone, in seclusion, then what do you need to do? It's stated again, that when you are alone, then with kathir, in abundance, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In abundance. That's how easy a formula it is, just do the dhikr of Allah in abundance. Upon which people laugh, and they doubt, and they criticize. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the essence. The summary of today's discussion is this, that we are all sick. Just like your physical sicknesses, we are spiritually unwell, and the spiritual sicknesses, which are very dangerous, for which the adab, the punishment will be given, and thereafter they will stay permanently. The physical sicknesses will end here in the world. So what we need to do is we need to get the treatment, start the treatment for our spiritual maladies, so that we can get freedom from the spiritual sicknesses, so that when we go hereafter the grave, we go easily, nicely, start the effort now. And the effort for that, what is the method we need to adopt? The Prophet ﷺ has prescribed that to us. And what is that method? That a friend of Allah grabbed all of his company and sit in his gathering of dhikr. Start to do that. And learn dhikr from him. And when you're alone, continue to do the dhikr of Allah. And that's it, end of story. Shortcut prescription, alhamdulillah. What's the guarantee? The guarantee the Prophet ﷺ is giving is that your deen in that era of fasad, disorder will be strong, robust, alhamdulillah. And you won't accept anything wrong. You will stick yourself to the deen. And number two, that this world for you will be good and your hereafter will become good as well. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Come, let's do some dhikr of Allah now.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المرسلين ثوابه ياسين الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي سواجي محمد المؤمنين وزرياته محلباته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وسلمنا أصلنا وجدنا خطبنا عمدنا كل سالكتنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان. اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان عليك بالله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا, يا دافع البلايات اشف بلاياتنا, يا شافي المرض اشف مرضنا. اللهم عافنا في بدني, اللهم عافنا في سمعي, اللهم عافنا في بصري, لا إله إلا أنت. يا الله ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما, یا اللہ تو ہم پہ رحم فرما, یا اللہ تو ہم پہ کرم فرما, یا اللہ ہمیں موت کی تیاری نصیب فرما, قبر کی تیاری نصیب فرما. اے میرے مولا, اے میرے مولا, تو ہم پہ رحم فرما. یا اللہ ہمیں بری صحبتوں سے بچا, یا اللہ بری صحبتوں سے بچا, یا اللہ بری عادتوں سے بچا. یا اللہ ہمیں دین کا داعی بنا, یا اللہ دین پہ چلنے والا بنا, دین سے محبت کرنے والا بنا. یا اللہ ہمیں دین کا فکر نصیب فرما. اے میرے مولا, اپنے فضل و کرم سے یہاں بھی نیک اچھی میرے مولا صحبتیں ہمیں صحبتیں نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ذکر کی مجالس نصیب فرما, ذکر والوں کی صحبتیں نصیب فرما, ذکر والوں کی باتیں سننا نصیب فرما, اس پہ ہمیں عمل نصیب فرما. اور جن جن حضرات نے دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے میرے مولا, ان سب کے حق میں ان کی دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. جو بیمار ان کو شفا عطا فرما. یا اللہ جو ضرورت مند ان کی ضرورت عطا فرما. یا اللہ جو بے اولاد ہیں ان کو اولاد نصیب فرما. یا اللہ جو رشتوں کے منتظر ہیں ان کو میرے اچھے ان کی حیثیت کے مطابق, ان کی طبیعت کے مطابق رشتے نصیب فرما. جب تک نہ ملے صبر نصیب فرما, جب تک نہ ملے صبر نصیب فرما. اور اپنی حکمت پہ ہمیں راضی فرما. اے میرے مولا, تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے ہماری تمام دعاؤں کو اپنے حبیب کے صدقے سے قبول فرما. اے میرے مولا, جہاں بھی ظلم ہو رہا ہے میرے مولا, اس ظلم سے میرا نجات فرما. ان ظالموں کے ظلم سے ان کو نجات فرما. یا اللہ ظالموں کے ظلم سے نجات فرما. جو جس پہ ظلم کرتے ہیں میرے مولا, یا اللہ تو اس کو آسانی فرما. یا اللہ ظالم کو تو میرے مولا سزا دے. یا اللہ اس کے ظلم کی وجہ سے اس کو سزا دے, ظالم کو سزا دے. جس پہ ظلم ہو رہا ہے اس کی مدد فرما میرے مولا. یا رحم رحیم, تو اپنا کرم فرما. یا اللہ جو لوگ انتقال کر گئے ان سب کی بخشش فرما, ہمارے رشتہ داروں کی بخشش فرما. ایک پاکستان میں کسی صاحب کے والد کا اچانک انتقال ہو گیا, ان کے لیے دعا فرمائے. اللہ تعالیٰ صدمے پر اس کو صبر نصیب فرمائے. اللہ تعالیٰ اس کو صبر نصیب فرمائے, اور اس کے والد کو جنت میں اعلیٰ نصیب مقام عطا فرمائے. قبر کے تمام مناظر اس پہ آسان فرمائے. قبر کو جنت کا ٹکڑا بنائے, جنت کی کیاری بنائے. اے میرے مولا, اس کے اولاد کو اس کے لیے صدقہ جاریہ بنائے. یا کریم, تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے اپنے حبیب کے صدقے سے میرے مولا, جس طرح آج تم نے محفل ہمیں اطمینان سے نصیب فرمائی, میرے مولا ہمیں نصیب فرما. یا اللہ, جو ہم نے نیت کی اجتماع کی خالص تیرے رضا کے لیے, اور تیری محبت کے لیے میرے مولا, اور تیرا جیسا حکم ہے کہ دعوت کرو میرے مولا, اسی حکم کے تحت ہم چاہ رہے ہیں کہ ہم جمع کریں لوگوں کو اور تیرا ذکر کریں میرے مولا. یا اللہ, تو اپنے فضل سے ہماری اس تدبیر کو اپنے فضل و کرم سے پورا فرما, اور اس میں ہماری اعانت بھی فرما. یا اللہ, ہماری مدد بھی فرما. اے میرے مولا, ہمیں ہمت عطا فرما, اس میں جان سے مال سے ہر چیز سے میرے مولا خدمت کریں, اور ہم آخرت کا ثواب حاصل کریں. وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ, نور عرشہ, زینت فرشہ, وعلیہ صحابہ اجمعین, برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون, والسلام علی المرسلین, والحمد للہ.